As I was coming over here, I looked down. I said, I was a little worried. I said, oh, I'm wearing tennis shoes. And I get here. Oh, let's see, where do we start? How did Richard Nixon start his biography? I was born in the house my father built. But I wasn't. Probably you all read the blurb I sent to a law in the bulletin. So my parents are immigrants. I'm the first male born in the United States. My cousin Rita was 2 months older, but no one seemed to pay attention to her background. I've always kidded her about that. And because I was the one that was going to carry on the name, I became a priest. My brothers were taking care of that. But, my family came to the United States through Halifax, Canada, and then Connecticut. Some stayed there. Most of my family is still on the island of Malta in the Mediterranean. And then a big branch of my dad's family came to Detroit for the jobs in the car factories, auto industry. And my mom's too. She was a year older than my dad, so she was the boss. So, I used to live in downtown Detroit, and I remember it, Park Town, a block and a half from Tiger Stadium. The house is there, well kept still. And then we moved to Holy Redeemer Parish, which is probably a couple miles, maybe. Yeah. And my dad always told the story when we were moving, all the relatives and all the people on the street had their handkerchiefs out crying. Oh my God, they're moving way down here. We're going to see you again. How excited Latin people can be. So we moved to a Redemptorist parish, Most Holy Redeemer. And Paul's experience there would be like mine. We're both products of the Sisters, Servants of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, a religious congregation of women that was founded by the Redemptorists in Monroe, Michigan, where their mother house still is. Back in the 1840s, it was founded. Was it Mass you mentioned?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When Sister got here.
When they got our card saying that we signed up to be a priest and do all things, they gave whoever was purchased, they gave those cards to Sisters, and then they were on the fast track.
The card says they really promoted Redemptorist vocation.
Yeah.
We attended my class too that way.
Yeah, we had to tell us.
And I'm an old guy who lived to tell about it. But I have to say, you know, I'll back up a bit. My parents always supported me. They always kept reminding me, whatever you decide is fine with us. You know, it wasn't the type of thing where family is ordaining me a priest when I was 6 years old. There was no pressure. Had I left for the seminary? Because my two other brothers were with me, and they, one was a professor brother, still very involved in our Redemptorist parish in Minneapolis, which is spread out. So the Sisters really influenced me. And their charism was very Redemptorist, you know. Although many of them have told me that the Redemptorists were the only ones that were allowed to preach retreats to the IHM Sisters, but they would scare the crowd out of them. The old-time missions, you know, fire and damnation. And the night of the retreat or mission, that was always about sin. It's really dramatic. So the confessional line is like 3 miles long. We grew up in that neighborhood. Neighborhood can make a big difference. It really impress you through your life. Paul mentioned at Mass this morning, too, all of us that were sitting there, Brother Bill and all of us, were from average single families, many siblings. I'm the oldest of nine, by the way, seven of us living, and two died because young children. So, are any of you the oldest? Oh, did you ever hear from your parents or either of your parents? Now you've got to be good, you've got to behave, because the others are going to do what you do.
Exactly.
That's a lot of pressure for a little kid. So I just didn't behave, that's all. And my first real memory of Redemptress, I have to be honest about this, Paul will know who I'm talking about. In our church, it's a big church, the Redemptress Church in Detroit. It's not the diocese, there's a number of orders there now, but it's a basilica-style church. I think it's modeled after St. Mary Major in Rome. And a big pulpit, you got to use these stairs to get up to the pulpit. And as a kid, I thought that these preachers up there were angry, and they were pounding, you know, and I didn't want to be like them. I look over to the side. We had a Redemptorist brother by the name of Joe, Brother Joe. He was there almost 40 years. And he was gentle. Unless he got upset at you, and the worst word that would come out of his mouth, he'd call you a bozo. Oh, that's awesome. But then he'd give you a dime or a candy bar. Call you a bozo.
Yeah, I caught myself on fire one time, you know. Yeah, we got the candle too close to think. Brother Joe took the holy water to the other guy.
But that's how it was. And it was a good program. And I think you came maybe my second year. Were you there already? In 71?
No, well, I was there in the summer. I was 72, I think.
Okay, I was already a sophomore in high school at Paul King. We taught the arts. Oh, we had stars on that, too.
Yeah.
That's for another time. But that's just how it was done. And at one time, it was like 300 to something in the high school seminary. When I got there, we were 120. Your class had 120.
We had 120.
And this was the whole place was down to 120, 1971. And the big groups would be from the Detroit Redemptorist Parish, Chicago Parish, St. Louis Parishes, Parish, you know. And that impressed me. It was a well-run program. It was, and they would tell us when we go home for summer break. I don't remember who it was before you got there, because it was my first year. Now, be careful when you go home. Be careful of the girls. So we go home. It's like, where are they? These girls, they're supposed to be jumping all the time. So at high school seminary, and then our college seminary was about an hour away from there, a place called Waterford, Wisconsin. And I made my novitiate in Oconomowoc. We had our big, major seminary there, and then became a novitiate and a health care. 5 miles away, how many of you were at our retreat center a couple years back? With Lee, yeah, you were there. This would have been about 5 miles away. It's a housing area now. They use the brickworks to make, it's called Monastery Estates. It's great. I want to back up though. There was a very special priest in my life, Father Bob Hirsch. He had a lot to do with promoting vocations, and he remained a good friend, a very good friend. Always supported me. His brother was our rector at the seminary when I got there to the high school. But he was very supportive. He was almost like a second dad. He got me my job at the rectory for about 5 summers. You know, so we could buy clothes and stuff. Then later on, this is how God does things. He preached at my first Mass. Later on, I preached at his 50th. Mm-hmm. You know, that was special. They were both in the same church, Detroit. My very first assignment as a deacon. By then, let me back up. I'm jumping ahead. The theology part of seminary was in a place called Esopus, New York. It's not far from Poughkeepsie. We were there for 3 years, and then our province decided to move us to Chicago. And there, Father Paul and Father Tom Brooks became our formation directors, and we studied at Catholic Theological. But we lived at St. Michael's Church, where I was ordained a deacon and then a priest. So I go to Midland, Michigan, my first place. Redemptors were only there for 20 years at that parish. But it was such a strong Redemptors parish. And this group reminds me of Midland. It was that whole diocese of Saginaw was very lay-oriented, let's say. There was a lot of programs for the formation of laypersons. And I got into the spiritual direction program, only did half a year, because then I got a phone call from Joe Tobin, who now is the Cardinal Archbishop of Newark. And he was also my bodyguard in the playground. He beat up the guys who beat me up, and I never let him forget. And that is like a sense of herself. That's why. So I only did half a course. So I have to fake spirituality. When I was going to Brazil, I called Father Hirsch. He's stationed in Detroit at this time. He'd been around. I'm in Midland, which is, Michigan is like Midland. Detroit's down here. Midland's up here by Bay City and Saginaw. I called him to tell him that I was going to Brazil. He had been a missionary in Brazil. He started the Redemptor Seminary in Brazil. We all heard these stories for years from him. He had a chicken coop, and he changed it into the first seminary with four boys. I knew three of the four when I went to Brazil. They were older men then. And okay, so all this, I wanted to give him this good news. And he was always so enthusiastic. And on the phone, he says, he was quiet at first. He says, "Oh, that is great. That is great. That is great. No, I take it back. I messed it up." Before I could say anything, he says, "I have news for you." And I said, "I have news for you too. I almost messed up the story." So he says, "I have great news. I'm being sent to Midland." And we're together, minister together. And I'm thinking, Midland Telemarketers. And we're talking, and I said, "I have news too. I received an appointment too." "Oh, really? Where?" And I said, "I'm going to Brazil." His dead silent. And then in this enthusiastic way, he didn't even ask me, "Are you kidding?" He says, "No, this is great. This is great. You know, I can help you learn, support Jesus, blah, blah, blah." So we overlapped while I was waiting for my visa. I was supposed to go in June of 87, July, August, September, October, November, December. The next, almost February, I finally got approved by the Brazilian government. And went. So he taught me some Portuguese. But that's how God works, interlacing us. You know? I've often thought how, well, I know this is a meeting that we have regularly, but in a church, let's say, well, a person could say, this could be the only time ever that these certain people will be in this time. You know, maybe never again. Some will be missing the next week and so forth. So, I want to just speed it up a little. Changes in life. We all go through a lot of changes. We never know what God has got planned for us. And I believe that there's a plan. It's not like Redemptor's appointments where they have a big man and everyone's got a dart. Well, God guided that dart. Right? I'm making it spiritual. But God's got a plan. It's just sometimes when it's, manifesting itself, it's like you want to think, does God really have anything to do with this? And that's not what I feel about Arizona. But when I was going to Brazil, I thought, me, I can't even swim. It's 99% water. I went and I loved it. It changed me. The experience in Brazil that we have to be for another time, totally different. I learned things I could never learn in a book. Never. And I think everywhere I've ever been assigned has been like that. So when they called me, when Father John Schmidt called me about Arizona, because they had talked to me briefly, and it looked like I was going to Kansas City. So I was kind of getting prepared for that. But this was just a matter of hours. Then he mentions Our Lady of the Desert in Arizona. Well, I didn't have, when they said years before, Manaus, Brazil, I didn't have to say, "Where is that?" I knew where Arizona was. Well, I was quiet on the phone. I said, "Really?" Just like that. And so God always has a plan. And if it makes sense to God, it doesn't matter if it makes sense to us. Later on, I mean, initially, it eventually does. You know how, did you ever do a timeline of your life? I've had to do this for my own spiritual direction. I had a sister who helped me during a sabbatical to do this. But she asked me to get a paper to make, like from your birth until today. Oh, I got this roll of paper. She was really impressed. I said, "You know, that's not what she wants." She says, "Oh, that's impressive." And you mark all these things that happened in your life, and you look back, and you can see, that was God. That was God. Mm-hmm. That was God. As it's happening, you might not recognize God. Mm-hmm. Maybe you do, I don't. I mean, you might not right away think, "What is God doing?" It doesn't make sense. If we were to talk about any of our vocations, I think we'd have that in common, you know? And here we are, this group, all connected by this charism that came from the Lord through this, initially, through this one fellow named Alphonsus. And Grace Celeste has something to do with it too. You know, there's another part to that story that I'm not discussing. Carl Holbrook told us. St. Alphonsus was diocesan priest. He was the chaplain for this group of sisters that became known as the Redemptorines. And they wore bright colors. Well, Sister Celeste had a lot of visions. And she would tell Alphonsus, I don't know why, if that was what this was about, but she kept telling him that she could foresee the Lord calling him to start a group, a community of men. Well, Alphonsus hadn't told her, but he was feeling that already. But she was really detailed. What color your socks were going to be, blue, red, the habit of black, red, white, blue, and black. You know, all kinds of colors. Kind of like the Vatican guard, those guys. And Alphonsus, the great line that our announcement told us was, he told her, Sister Celeste, I believe that God, Jesus, is speaking to you. But if I am called to start a group of men, they will dress as religious, not as clowns. You mentioned so I don't know if we have some time to for some questions. Or,
yeah, we have.
I don't know. It's hard to put your life in a nutshell.
We've been trained to stop at 6 so the dining staff can leave early or when they need to. But let's just open it up. Do you mind if we just ask you
no,
any questions?
No, we could have part 2 some other day.
So, any questions?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What does plentiful redemption mean to you?
What does it mean to me? Well, in my mind and heart, I'm a visual person. I can be in a room and leave. I can tell you all the colors in the room. Or a car full of parking lot full of cars. I can tell you the colors. I can't tell you what kind of cars they were. Mm-hmm. So when I envision plentiful redemption, the first image that comes to my mind, and I think it was because Jesus spoke this about God's love, is when you have something really yummy and you try to cram it all into one container, like, but you can't do that with ice cream. But let's see, something really good. When he says, put together, fill, the cup is full, pressed down, flowing over. That's the image I have. And it just keeps flowing, like a font. Now that's the image. I'm not going to try to be theological or anything, but to me it's the mind-boggling love that God has for us. A mystery that no, you can't understand the mystery. Your head would explode. Believe me, I've tried. You go crazy if you try to get it explode. You can't understand how or why God would love us so much. That's what it is. And we're called to spread that word. It's a real basic Christian truth.
Question. When in your life, how in your life did you come to the realization that you were to be a priest? I know people led you to this, but your spiritual awareness, was it some vision or some just instinctual thing or mental or spiritual, or did all of those things come together?
The answer is I don't know, but I'll tell you something that happened when I was 5 years old. My dad and two uncles worked in, we called them party stores at the time. They were kind of like the precursors of shopping center, of grocery stores, big chain stores. And my dad was at the counter, South Joy Road, Detroit, bad neighborhood now. And you know where people put their food, there was a round thing. Mm-hmm. My dad would oftentimes take me, and I was this cute kid with blonde hair all over. Everyone liked messing up my hair at the time. So I'd be sitting there, and he's counting up the purchases for these three men. And he's putting it in bags. And these guys were there, and they kept messing up my hair. It's just like doing it. I was irritated. So one guy asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I remember this really well. I said, I want to be a priest. And they're like, oh, wow. They left, and my dad and my uncle, one of my uncles was there. My dad said, why did you say that? You know? And I had this really profound answer. I said, I don't know. Thinking back on it, where did that come from? It had to be God. Because I was afraid of those priests.
Who?
Looked like they were angry. Yeah. You know, I wanted to be a priest. Okay. Then I had to think about it. So we went to the seminary. But it was there. Why did I say it?
How did you go to the seminary? Was it your decision that you told your parents, or the sisters encouraged you, obviously?
All the above. And there was a whole bunch of us that went. We were all peers. We were 10, I think 10 or 11. And we all were in the same grade school and so forth. Paul would have already been. Oh, yeah, he was.
11 years old, I don't
know where you were. How you were me?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Joe Tobin, who's the Archbishop of Newark, is about 4 years, I think, ahead of me. So I would have been in the upper grades, now I was in the lower grades. But you know, all that. As I said, my parents, no, and all the, oh, we had, this is important, the Redemptorist Club. It was like this group of married people, and they get together, they play cards, bingo, whatever, raise money for us, they have barbecues for us, and it was a family, wasn't it? Your mom.
Yeah.
Katie is mom, I remember. And I can think of all kinds of moms of Redemptors. I could name them all. They'd all be together, and they encourage us. When we come home on vacation, they encourage us, pray for us, they send us letters. You know, so that was really cool.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. What can we do to help you feel welcomed and comfortable and in this place? What can we do?
Well, if you had asked me a few days ago, I'd say, who knows how to paint? We're lucky I painted a Rosanna. Right now, first word that comes to my mind, patience. Just a little bit of patience. I have to be honest, I don't say this in church, but we have a Redemptorist bond here, a special one. I'm feeling-wise just a tiny bit overwhelmed, and it's not quiet or anything. I got here early, and that's why I did it, so I can learn. Paul was very good at teaching me a lot of things. It's a lot of information, and it was coming from different directions, and I'd say, oh, or people would ask me something, and I'd say, I don't know who takes care of them, and I found out it's me. Spiritual community director of the Renewal Center and director of the conventional community.
Mm-hmm.
All of
them. Love.